works all the time. I am the pastor of Acts Fellowship, or at least the senior pastor. We have another pastor on staff, and I'm really glad that that pastor is on staff. But we've been up there about 4 years. Our church is primarily, not completely, but primarily a second-generation Korean church. We're an independent church. The oldest person in our church is 38 years old, I think. I don't check that often, but I think it's around 38. Somebody asked, do you have a youth group? And I go, well, no, we don't, because we're not old enough to have a youth group. But we have lots of babies and toddlers, so 15 years from now, we're going to have a booming youth group. I want to take just a moment to introduce to you the people that we brought with us. One of the things that Mary and I always try to do whenever we travel is to bring people along with us. There's a couple reasons. One is it's just really good training for the people that we bring with us. But another reason, and I want you all to know this, particularly those of you who are taking us out to lunch and meals and all, that you can dialogue with them. They're going to introduce themselves in just a moment, but ask them questions. Talk to them about how they developed what they're doing as well. Because a lot of times you tend to look at the guest speakers, oh, well, they're the guest speaker. They're supposed to know how to do it. You know, I could never be like that. I know because I sat where you've sat a lot of times, and I go, I could never be like that, and now here I am. But to take advantage of talking to them, whatever questions you've got, they're more than capable of answering them. They could probably, as many times as they've heard this, they could probably do what we're going to do over the next 2 weeks. But if you guys, if both of you could come up, and Mary, if you could come up. This is my wife, Mary. She is also a pastor at Acts Fellowship, and I'll let her share a little bit about where she's at. She's going to actually be up here ministering a little bit later in a part of the service, we think. We're not completely sure what we're doing tonight. I do have some really good notes on the other couple of days, but we're not quite sure about tonight. So why don't you share just a little bit?
Okay. Well, I'm a pastor. I pastor the areas of worship and intercession and counseling at Acts Fellowship. And I'm involved in networking in the community and with other community pastors and apostolic leaders in Toronto, Canada. And the Lord sent us up there 4.5 years ago. And just this last year, God's been answering some prayers I had very early when we moved up there to get us connected in the city. And right now I'm on a team of pastors in Toronto that are mobilizing city prayer. And so we're in a real exciting time in Toronto.
I may be slightly biased, but I truly think this is the best looking pastor in the history of the world.
Sing. Hi, my name's Sang, or in Korean, Sangwon. I heard I have my twin brother with the same name here. I work actually as a physical therapist at a hospital in Toronto, Ontario. And I'm involved in church in a couple of ministries in the worship team. And I'm one of the leaders that oversees that ministry. And I'm also involved in intercession as well as the prayer ministry team.
And my name is Gloria. And I'm a policy advisor for the government in the field of education policy in Toronto, Ontario as well. And I've been at ACTS for around 7 years. And the ministry that I'm involved in right now is the intercession group, and I also help with the discipleship maturation ministry. And it's a lot of fun working with them, so you guys are going to have a great 2 weeks ahead of you.
Thanks, guys. I really want to encourage you. Oftentimes people feel like, oh, I've got to have the speaker pray for me or something. Trust me, if you get any one of these people to pray for you, good things are going to happen. It may be better than what I give you. So I really want to encourage you. They're just the best. I'm so glad that we get to be around them and hang around them. I'm so grateful for that. Sam shared we're going to kind of let you know a little bit what's going on, but I want to tell you what's going to happen this weekend. Tonight, I wish I could tell you what's going to happen, but I don't know. We were talking about what's going to happen, and the Holy Spirit's going to come in one way or another, but we're not quite sure, and it'll be good. I'm not sure why they're laughing. That's sort of intimidating. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about how you hear from God. Fundamental to any kind of activity in your relationship with Jesus is hearing what God has to say. You know, Jesus said in John 8, I only say what I hear the Father saying. So if he felt like it was important enough to only hear what the Father's saying, perhaps that's something we ought to be able to do. Most people feel like they cannot hear from God. They don't know how. Everybody else hears, but they don't hear. I mean, like half of you are nodding and go, yep, that's where I'm at. We're going to tell you how that works. And we'll show you how it works so that you can actually see it done in front of you, which is really important because if you make it here on Saturday afternoon, probably the best time for all of you is going to be that you're going to do it. We're going to show you how to do it, and then you're going to do it. Because I don't know how you view it, but Christianity, you maybe haven't heard this, Christianity is a verb. If you're not doing something, I don't know how much of a Christian we really are. Christianity is a verb. You have to do it. And so you're going to get in and do it. We'll be here to help you, to activate you and being able to hear from the Lord. We'll sit down and practice it, and you'll be able to work through it. You'll get immediate feedback and all kinds of stuff, and it's going to work. I've taught hundreds of people how to do this thing. We've done this a bunch of times. If you're here Friday night and you come on Saturday, you're going to hear from God. Some people are pretty excited about this. The rest of you guys are going, oh my, or something. I don't know. It's really fun. Saturday night, we're going to talk a little bit more about what the prophetic is, but I'll just tell you real briefly what it is. It's Papa saying nice things to his kids. That's what the prophetic is. People think it's, you know, predicting the future, you know, 20 years from now, or, you know, I'm going to find out what your cousin's, you know, first name is, who lives in, you know, wherever they live, and all that kind of stuff. The heart, the core of prophecy is Dad saying nice things to his kids. When we pray for you, you're going to get a nice word because God wants to say nice things to his children. Does that make you feel better already? Yeah. I don't know everything that's wrong with you, and if I do get told, I won't embarrass you in front of everybody, okay? Because that's the one thing we teach our people is, you know, it's good news. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. In other words, it's going to be good. So even if we do pick up something that's not positive, it's still going to be positive. Whew. Boy, does that feel good. So we're going to talk about that Saturday night. And then next week we're going to talk about spiritual gifts because that's another way that we can be active in serving the Lord. Okay? You know, if you don't say yes and nod periodically, I'm going to feel like you didn't get it, and then I'll have to go back to where the last time you said yes, and we'll do it all over, and you'll be here till midnight, and I know you don't really want to do that. I'm going to talk for just a couple of minutes tonight, and it really is going to be pretty short, I think. I never believed this when I wasn't a pastor, but you never believe them when they say they're going to be a couple minutes. It's true. Now, I want you to know, see, here's my notes. It's just this and about half of another page. So I really am intending that this is short. But sometimes stuff just happens, and you think of things, and God puts stuff in your heart, and you say more than that. How come the Holy Spirit? Why even bother with all of this stuff about the Holy Spirit? A lot of churches look at it, it's like really controversial. It's just not worth the effort. It's kind of weird, kind of spooky. We don't know how it works. Why is this such a big deal? Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Father, I thank you for tonight and this awesome group of people. Really honored to be able to speak to them. And Holy Spirit, you said that you would lead us into all truth. So we're counting on you to do that right now. You said that you were the teacher, and we're asking you to teach us tonight. We ask for your blessing. Ask you to help us, Lord. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. By the way, if you don't bring your Bibles tonight, bring them every other night, because being having an accountant background, I'm a very left-brain thinker. Everybody just gets in awe of the fact that I could actually be an accountant and prophetic at the same time, as if somehow I would do that. But, you know, I think God is very logical and reasonable and makes sense to me. But I really believe that as we look at the issue of the Holy Spirit, we shouldn't just dive out there and hope we get it right on feelings. that there's got to be something in this book that gives us a foundation of belief for it. And when we look at how God speaks, and as we look at how the prophetic works and some of the gifts that are connected with it, I'm going to show you a whole bunch of scripture on it. We're not just making this stuff up because it looks fun to do or feels good. It's firmly grounded in scripture. So I really want to encourage you to bring your Bible so that you can follow along. Okay? Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Oh, just one more thing. I'm using the New International Version. That happens to be what we use in our church. And so I noticed a couple of New American Standards. Most of the verses that I quote will be out of New American Standard because that's what I memorized them in. But now we use New International Version. So if my version doesn't match yours, that's why. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John the Baptist was the high water mark of all of the Old Testament prophets. And a lot of us get surprised at that because there were some pretty amazing Old Testament prophets. When I read, I just loved Elijah and Elisha. I just thought they were the coolest, you know, thing. They did all this amazing stuff. I mean, how many people do you know, like, bring fire out of heaven? That's a pretty cool thing. And all of, bring people back from the dead. Now, that's an amazing thing. How about Moses? Was he just some kind of an amazing prophet? Or Daniel? Or Isaiah? Make the sun go backwards. Now, there's something that grabs your attention. And yet, Jesus says here, nobody was of more preeminence than John the Baptist. Now, that's really curious, because there's no recorded miracles that John the Baptist did. There's no recorded healings that John the Baptist ever did. None of the things that we associate with these awesome prophetic people. They didn't stand. John the Baptist didn't particularly stand up to anyone, although he did kind of tell Herod off a little bit. But he didn't have the same kind of encounters as some of these other men. Why was he preeminent? Because he told of what was coming. That's how valuable Jesus, in his viewpoint of all of the activities that all of these men engaged in, he said, John is preeminent. Or he's of most importance, or he's the greatest of these, not because of the things he's done, but because of the message he's carrying. So if we're going to value, or Jesus is going to value John above all these others because of the message, we probably ought to pay attention to the message. You think? It makes sense, doesn't it? You don't even have to be a university graduate for that one. By the way, greater does not mean that John was a greater person. All of these guys were great people. Greater means a realm of living that was previously unattainable. You can write that one down. That's good. That wasn't one of mine. Greater means living in a realm that was previously unattainable. Y'all are still thinking about that one. John was talking about something that says, we're going where no one has gone before. That's what this is all about. That's what the core of this message is. Back up a couple of chapters to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John's speaking here. And he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John had been out doing water baptism, and everybody came. That was the happening place to be. It was like the conference that everybody had to be at. They mailed in their registrations from all over the Jewish area and said, we're going to this one. We got to be there. Because John's the hot speaker right now. They all wanted to get baptized. And he said, there's somebody coming that's got a whole different baptism. And what was the baptism? Look back at it again, just to make sure we get it right. The Holy Spirit with fire. This wasn't just a water baptism. This is a Holy Spirit and fire. He says, and what he's got coming is what you guys really want. Drop down to verse 14. John tried to deter him, that is Jesus, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Now, Jesus had come up to John and said, I need to be baptized. John goes, wait a minute. I've been talking about you the whole time. You've got what I want, because I know you're going into a whole other realm that I've never been, and I want to be a part of. I want you to baptize me. I want what you've got and what you're giving out. I've already got what I'm doing, and I know what you're bringing is significant in a way that I can't get close to. Now remember, this is the preeminent, the greatest of all of the Old Testament prophets saying, I don't even want to baptize you. I need to be baptized by you. I need what you've got. I need this Holy Spirit and fire thing that I've been prophesying about and don't even really know what it is, but it's so significant, I got to have that thing. Not one of the Old Testament prophets, not one of the Old Testament saints, had access to what was going to be offered shortly to even the very least of the saints who followed afterwards. Do you hear what is being said here? I don't think we do, because I don't think we get that. What was being offered was more significant and impacting and meaningful than the things that Elijah and Moses and Isaiah did. I mean, we look at them and they are the heroes of the Old Testament faith. And what was being offered was more significant than that. What was it? It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John said, I'll give it all up just to get that. I almost don't know how to communicate it another way. This is critical things. These are critical things. And I'm university educated. Oh. These are critical things that he's talking about for our life. Do you think if John felt like it was vital for him to have this, that he would desire it, how much do you think you and I need it? How much do you think we need to have that happen in our own lives? There's a thing, I believe, in Christianity where we have an immediate goal and an ultimate goal. And this makes lots of sense. You have immediate goals. You have to accomplish immediate goals in order to obtain the ultimate goal you're aiming for, right? For instance, and this is one that happens to work for me, I used to bowl quite a bit. I know that's kind of nerdish, but I'm an accountant, so, you know. I was really good, but it's still kind of nerdish. Bowlers don't aim for the pins. I don't know if you knew that. How many people bowled enough to feel like they're any good? Anybody done that? Okay, then I have to explain this. On the bowling alley lane, when you go and look at it, there's about 25 feet out on the lane, there's a whole bunch of little arrows that are marked there. They're called markers or arrows, different kinds of things. That's what bowlers aim for. Because if you aim all the way down the alley, it's too hard to get the ball to go there. So you aim to something very close, and once you hit the marker, then the pins are going to go down. The immediate goal is to hit the marker. But you get no points if you hit the marker. That just gets you on track to be able to knock the pins over. Your ultimate goal is to knock the pins over. Your immediate goal is to hit the marker. You with me? Same thing in the kingdom. Do you know what the immediate goal in the kingdom of God is? Salvation. That's the thing that gets us started. If you don't have salvation, you're not even in the game. You have to have that. But hear me. Salvation is not the end goal. That's the introduction or the opening to everything else that God wants to have come after it. To say, okay, I've been saved, I'm in, I'm done. And God's going, no, you just got in the club. You just joined. You're like a private on the first day of being drafted. If you're here tonight, and there probably is at least one or two people here tonight, and you said, I got saved, that's all I need to worry about. You haven't read this book. That just gets you in the door to start making things happen. That would have been like a really good place for an amen, just so you know that. And keep that in mind. I'm not offended when you do that. It really encourages me. It helps me to feel like we're doing well. And that would have been a really cool place to put one in. So you can do that. Is that amen to what I'm saying, or that you can do that? I'm not even sure what that means. But that's okay. We're practicing, and that's good, because practice makes perfect. We're going to get along well. I just know that. Salvation is our immediate goal, but our ultimate goal is something else. Turn to Ephesians 3:19. Sometimes when we go to churches, this is really a challenge when we travel all over the Bible, but I know Sam really preaches the word, so none of you have problem finding any of these verses. And right? Ephesians 3:19. If, by the way, you happen to need a passage of scripture that you want to memorize, I heartily endorse verses 14 through 21. You can just write that down sometime if you want to write something. If you're having trouble with vocabulary and prayer, this is a really good one. But we're just going to look at verse 19. Follow along, please. Now let's back up. This is just so good. We got to spend a little time. Paul's praying here in the middle of verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. Let's say that word together. Power. Say it again.
Power.
Say it again.
Power.
How many of our Christian lives have that word active in our lives? Do you know why people are not banging that door down to get in here? Because of that word. Do you know why people are looking into New Age and transcendental meditation and Eastern religion and Western religion and Northern religion, all this goofy stuff out there? Do you know why? Because that word is not in the church. Because we're so bogged down, excuse me, saints, we're so bogged down with our own stuff, and we can barely get our own act together, and we're caught up in all the same stuff that the world's caught up, that they can't see a difference when we interact with them. Nobody said amen there. Maybe oh my, but not amen. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That is the ultimate goal. To be filled. To be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. Now, what is the all of the fullness of God? I don't know. Do you know, if you started here on planet Earth and every one of us just took off out into the universe going 186,000 miles a second, speed of light, and went for about a billion years, we still wouldn't reach the limits of what God already knows. He says he holds the whole universe in the palm of his hand. And that's what he's saying to us, that he wants us to know and be filled with. Do you think, just speculate for a second, that if we were filled even with some measure of that, that would make a difference in your life? Amen. Just even a little piece of the fullness of God. I can't even get my arms wrapped around that. What is it, the fullness of God? What would that be like? I don't know, but I want to try to find out. Amen. See, I grew up in church. I know how to do church. I am good at doing church. I've gone to sleep under more pews than you think you know how to do. Yeah, if you can help me get here, because I seem to like have to walk a little bit. I've gone to sleep under pews. I've memorized hymns. I know all the people who wrote them and what year they wrote them in. And, you know, I'd get like all excited. I'd say, wow, we got one in the 19th century. This is cool. I'm excited. I was only about 150 years away from where I live now. I know all the Bible stories. I learned all of them. I know how to pray the right way and all of that kind of stuff. But my life didn't change anybody, including me. What does it mean to have the fullness of God. I want to suggest to you that if we just caught a piece of that, it would entirely revolutionize everything you do. I'm not anywhere close to that. I want you to know that. I'm just like Paul in Philippians 3. I'm still pressing on to know him better. I'm still going towards that. But it's a little bit more than it was before. And there's some of that God stuff, that being filled with, that oozes out on people from time to time. You're going to get a little bit of the spillage in the next 2 weeks. Just one more time. I just want to make sure we don't miss this thing. This is the ultimate goal. The immediate goal is salvation. We want to get people saved. We want you to get saved. But do not stop there. There's so much more. Christianity only becomes fun when you start doing it. If you just come and sit, Christianity is boring. It is. I know. I've done it. Can you believe a pastor said that? Christianity is boring. But can we get real? I'm an accountant. I can add the columns up, and I know when they're negative amounts and when they're positive amounts. And if we are not active, doing, filled with the Holy Spirit kind of people, we are in negative numbers. Okay, I think I've worn that out. One more time. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. That's your ultimate purpose, is to be filled with the knowledge of God. It ought to make a difference in our lifestyle. When we become satisfied, and you can write this one down, this is kind of profound. When we become satisfied, apart from God's ultimate purpose of fullness, we tolerate Satan in our lives. When we become satisfied, apart from being filled with God, we tolerate Satan's activity in our life. If I'm not filled up with God, I've got room for other stuff like materialism. That's not an issue here in Hong Kong, so I probably don't need to spend any time with that. Rationalism, that says I've got to figure out God, and if he doesn't fit in my box, I don't want him. If we're not filled to the fullness of God, that kind of stuff gets in there. Sin, especially secret sin. We all come here and we look so good, and we got the smiles on, and we go home and our hearts are broken and they're scarred and they're black because we've got junk that we hide with because we're not filled to the fullness of God. Anytime we do not have the fullness of God, we are making a place in our life for something else to fill that. You know, once a glass of water gets full, you can put no more in. It has to spill. But if you've only got a little drop or two in the bottom, there's a lot of stuff that can go in there. What are you putting in? What do you fill with? Holy Spirit is for more than just blessing us, too. And this is an important thing to know. You all know the verse that says, give and it will be given to you, right? That's why I said Christianity is an active verb rather than Christianity is a noun. Because in the measure that we give, that's how we're going to get back. If we're not giving, if we're not ministering, if we're not pouring out and making an impact on the people outside of this room, hello? Outside of this room, not on each other, unless you don't know Jesus here, who needs to have the ministry of the church? Those people. The people sitting next to you in the desk where you work. The person in the apartment or townhome or condominium where you live. Those are the people that need this stuff. It is for our personal benefit. John 14, 15 through 17, you can look that up. John 16, all of that section of John talks about the ways that the Holy Spirit is there to bless us, to comfort us, to lead us into truth, to help us learn about God, and on and on. You can read about that. Most of us have heard about that. But the Holy Spirit is in us also, and I would even suggest equally, to bless others. God put this deposit of himself in you, and you, and you, for the benefit and blessing of other people. It is not to sit here and say, well, bless you, Sam, and now you bless me, and bless you, Mary, and now you bless Sam. And we just go, boy, we just had a good meeting, and we feel so blessed. And we laugh. But when's the last time you ministered the kingdom of God to the person next to you at work? I know it's tough. I've been there. But Jesus didn't say this was going to be easy. He just said it was going to be exciting. The Holy Spirit is in us for the benefit of others. And I want to give you a few verses. And yes, we're going to go look at these things to let you know that it isn't, this Christian walk is not just about make me feel good, Jesus. I don't think Hong Kong is quite that different from Canada or North America, and that most of the people that come to our church and your church and most churches are in it for themselves. Oh God, you got to bless me because my car didn't start this week. Oh, come on, some of you prayed that. Or something of the equivalent. God, if you don't show me where my keys are at, and that's a legitimate prayer. But if it's only just about us, we've missed the point. Luke 4, 18 and 19. I got just about 5 minutes left. And I said that for my wife's benefit. So she's getting ready to come up here and do something that I'm not even sure what we're going to do. But it's going to be cool and the Holy Spirit's going to come. Luke 4, 18 and 19. Jesus is speaking here and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to sit in church and feel good about myself." No. Somebody better be smiling about that one. Jesus is quoting Isaiah, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and to recover sight for the blind and release for the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The Spirit of the Lord is on me, and he's anointed me to preach good news to people who have not heard, to bring healing to those who are broken in their body, to bring deliverance to those who are oppressed by the enemy. Deliverance, healing. We okay with that stuff? Really? Do not raise your hands. When's the last time you prayed and somebody got healed? When's the last time you prayed and somebody got delivered from demonic oppression? See, it's one thing to say, yes, I give mental assent and agreement to that thing. It's quite another to say, this is a part of my lifestyle and that's what I do. That's what Jesus said. Oh, and you say, okay, that was for Jesus. I have really bad news for you. Turn to John chapter 20. You may have liked the one about Jesus getting the anointing to do that. You're probably not going to be quite so happy with this one. But it's important for you to see, we're talking about why the Holy Spirit and why we must have that overflow, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Here we go, guys. Watch this. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Now, how did the Father send Jesus? He was anointed to do what? Preach the good news to the poor. Heal people. Deliver people from demonic bondage. To proclaim that this is when God is coming. That's what the favorable year of the Lord is. It means God is showing up in your midst. And Jesus said, the way Dad sent me, you guys go do it now. Really? It's right here in the book. Where am I? And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, get saved. Receive the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? We can't do what we've been assigned to do. We can't do the ultimate task of being filled with all the fullness of God without the breath of God that says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. Most of you probably know that one. Stay in Jerusalem until you really get your doctrine right. Isn't that what most of the church does? Can we get real? Look, I'm not a theologian. You've figured that one out by now. But I do know what does and doesn't work in the real world. And Jesus didn't say, stay in Jerusalem till you get your theology all down. I don't think anybody's got perfect theology. I think our God is so big that if we ever kind of get close, then he'll reveal some more stuff about him. We'll go, wait a minute, I don't know where to put that either. We have to kind of come back to it. There's basic things we have to have. Jesus Christ is who he said he was going to be. And all the things about him, that has to be there. That's unequivocal in Scripture. But there's a lot of other things that are not nearly so clear. And we're so worried about getting those exactly right that we do not do what we're told to do, which was preach the gospel and make disciples, which is to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and heal those who are sick and bring deliverance to those who are oppressed. We're too worried about getting our wording exactly right. Jesus said of the Pharisees, straining out gnats and swallowing camels. You're getting the little stuff and you're missing the big picture. And by and large, the Church of Jesus Christ has missed the big picture because we've stopped with salvation and haven't moved on to fullness of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 10. Here's where Jesus commissioned the disciples. You're going to love this one. Any disciples here? Anybody a disciple or at least want to try to start moving towards that? Nobody's raising their hands. It's like, okay, I'm a little scared now. I'm not even sure I want to do this. I know there are a few more disciples here, but you're just a little nervous about me right now. And that's okay. Wait till I start with the stories. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. What has happened to this point is that Jesus came. He did some stuff. He said, the kingdom of God is coming. In the Sermon on the Mount, in chapters 5, 6, and 7, he said, here's the heart of those people who are going to minister the kingdom. In chapters 8 and 9, he said, here's what the kingdom looks like. And he healed the sick, cast out demons, you know, calmed the storm, raised the dead. You know, just all that kingdom stuff, that normal kind of kingdom stuff. Having now talked about the heart of the people in the kingdom and said, here's what it looks like. Then he says in verse 10, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and sickness. Just what do you suppose might happen if we put that in our doctrinal statement? Okay, that was too far. I'm sorry. Some people's eyes are kind of glazing over like, oh my gosh. Look down at verse 7. Jesus says, as you go, preach the kingdom. Preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. How do we know the kingdom of heaven is near? Does this sound just a little familiar again? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely receive, freely give. It's an active verb that brings the presence of God to bear in a person's life so that they are compelled to recognize that God has acted. I got time for one story. You like things in... I'm going to pull most of my examples this week out of before I was a pastor. I've been a pastor for about 4.5 years now. Almost all my examples are going to come out of either our home life together or out of the workplace so that there's more things that you can relate to. Because people, I say, oh yeah, the pastors, they're supposed to do that. I got drafted by God. This wasn't my idea. It wasn't part of the plan for my life or any of that stuff to be here. I'm doing it because that's what he said to do. There was one time at work, there was this real sweet gal that was this accounting clerk. I don't remember her name anymore. I'll call her. But you're right. It was Mary said these stories so often. She gives me cues. So if I look there once in a while, she corrects me. It's because I forget. Her name was Stephanie. And she was just this, you know, real sweet accounting clerk. And I'd been working on this project. And I had this big invoice that had to get in and get paid and all that kind of stuff. And so I had it ready to go, and it was getting later in the day, and I didn't know what to do with it because Stephanie was having a bad day. When Stephanie had a bad day, everybody in the accounting clerk pool had a bad day. She was like the hub, and she messed everything up if Stephanie wasn't doing well. And normally she was just a pretty good person, but she was having a bad day. And finally, I'm sitting in my office, and I go, man, I got to give this thing to her, and I got to get it in. And fortunately, this time, before I went to talk to Stephanie, I said, okay, Holy Spirit, tell me how to bless her. Deep prayer, right? I really count on the verse that says, except you become like a child, you will not see the kingdom. The kingdom stuff is not really, really difficult. It's not real deep. Sometimes it's not easy to do, but it's not real deep. So I said, okay, Holy Spirit, help me to do something to encourage Stephanie. So I walk up kind of tentatively, you know, approaching this animal that might bite. Rawr, cat claws. And I put the invoice in her box and said, Steph, this has got to go out today. How are you doing today? Profound. I told you, I'm not deep. How are you doing today? And she looks up at me, and normally she would just like bark at you if she's having a bad day. And she says, well, I think the man upstairs knows where I'm at. Right then the Holy Spirit says, okay, tell her who I am. Now, this is in the middle of an accounting pool, accounting clerk pool. There's about 12 accounting clerks there. I'm going, okay. And see, here's the thing where we all end up. Are we going to take a step for Jesus when he opens the door or not? And most of us don't. Yours truly included. There's plenty of times I haven't stepped in. But this time I did. I said, you know, Steph, the man upstairs, his name is Jesus, and he knows right where you're at in her life. And she was just riding away, and she stopped and looked up at me. I said, yeah, really? And a little trickle of a tear starts to come down her cheek. And she goes, really? I said, yeah. And in the back of my mind, I said, Holy Spirit, what'll unlock her heart? He says, talk to her about her family. It's okay. I said, I know the family situation's been really tough. And she goes, how do you know? I said, because the man upstairs told me it was, because he cares about you. Now it's pretty much waterworks time. You ought to have seen the Buddhist girl sitting next to her. She was like. Stephanie, God cares so much about what's going on in your life that he took this time to tell me. And I feel like he wants you to know it's going to be okay. God's going to take care of your son. She goes, how do you know about my son? So, I haven't been to church. This is what she said. I haven't been to church in over 10 years, but I was just thinking on my way to work today, I better try to go back to church. About 20 minutes later, I'm in my office. The door happens to be open, and Stephanie, who is not a petite little woman, she is like a good-sized lady, goes like skipping by, like, you know, it's like, I go, oh, man, God. You did something to her heart. You brought this person who was at a crisis in their life back to connect with you. Mark 16. You've read this before, but let's look at it again. In light of what we've just been talking about, I got two more verses. Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. We are to go out and tell people about it, but we're also to inject the power of God into their life to change it. Because most people, if they're genuinely honest, when they're laying in bed by themselves, asleep at night, they go, I need some help. Most people know that. But until there's a demonstration of a God that is able to come in and make a change in their life, they're probably not going to move toward God. Okay, think about it. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. We got any believers here tonight? Then what comes after this phrase should be happening in our lives. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. I prayed that in India several times. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Do you notice a theme about what the kingdom of God looks like? And it ain't sitting in a church. Now, why am I being so intense about this? Because if we as a church do not get that we need something more to move us out of these pews to bring the power of the Holy Spirit into people's lives who do not know Jesus, we're missing our ultimate purpose and call. Why am I teaching about hearing from God? Why did we fly all this way to help you know, encourage and bless and stir that up in you so that the ultimate purpose that you were called and saved for can start happening in your life. See, what I want for you, and we're all probably going to tell you stories that Gloria and Sang are both going to share portions of their testimony over the next couple weeks. Mary's going to talk some. We're sharing stories because you need stories. It's so much more fun to tell about Stephanie than it is to somebody else who get up there and talk about the stuff, their stories. I want my own stories. I want to, you know, I'm happy to tell that, you know, all kinds of people got prayed for and heard the word of the Lord in their lives in India in the last 8 days because I got to do that. I got to see people immediately, instantly healed from stuff. That's pretty cool. And it extends the kingdom because people, when they have that happen, they go, whoa, I want to know your God. Sang's probably going to tell a couple stories about what happened in Mexico with her last year. Now, is that the fun way to do church? When she tells you it's fun. Anybody can do this stuff. If you believe. John 14:12. This one just blows me away. Jesus is speaking here and he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. You know what Jesus has been doing by now, right? Healing the sick, casting out, you know, there's this theme that goes on. Anybody, does this really say what it says? Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. And he will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Why did Jesus go to the Father? So that the Holy Spirit could come here. We're right back there again. What on earth must greater things than what Jesus did look like? How big do you dream for what your Christian life can look like? Right here it's saying, I'm going to the Father so that the Holy Spirit can come and live in every one of you, that you can have this walk which is bigger, more significant, and more impacting than what John was able to walk in, what Elijah was able to walk in, what Moses was able to walk in. I'm going to the Father so that you can do things even bigger than what I did. Now, I'm still working on trying to do the works that Jesus did, let alone the greater than works. But they're starting to come. Do you believe this book? A part of your destiny, a part of what God has wired you to do and called you to do in the kingdom is to do greater works than Jesus. That's your destiny. The overflow of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, or at least should be, the ultimate goal of every believer. If we're not overflowing, if we're not standing here and splashing over on other people with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the word of the Lord to bring life and hope into people, to bring deliverance, to bring healing. We are living below the level that God has intended us to live. He's got a standard that says, here's what I want for you. Here's what I've designed for you. Here's my heart for you. And we're somewhere down here most of the time. And most of the church lives there. Be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Was awesome. That was really awesome. And I feel like, how could we hear that word of truth and just sit here and then get up and go on our way? Holy Spirit, He comes where He's welcome. Most often, sometimes He comes where He's not welcome. But most often, He comes where He's welcome. And all we have to do is ask. Ask Him to come. Jesus is the baptizer. That's what John said. He's going to do it. Holy Spirit changed my life. I just want to tell a brief story, and then I want to pray and minister to some people. But I was a hippie, and I was really screwed up, and I loved my dope. And I smoked dope every day. And I had a little baby. And I was real messed up. I grew up in a real abusive home. And I was very, very wounded. And I remember, I'm going to do a flashback. Growing up as a kid, I'd just be so broken and wounded. And you know what? Growing up in an abusive family is not rare. I thought it was rare. And I thought I was the only one on earth who was hated and didn't fit in my family. And there's probably some of you sitting in this room, because it's so common, I found out. But when I was a little girl, Holy Spirit would come and visit me. I didn't know that's who it was until sometime later, I'll tell you about. But he would come and comfort me in my brokenness. And I knew there was a God. I knew there was Father God, and I knew he loved me. And growing up as a kid, I would say to him, I know you created me, and I know you're there, and there's got to be a way I can know you. Fast forward, hippie, screwed up life, dope smoking pothead maniac. I was good for nothing except making food because I had the munchies. Really brushed up on my cooking skills. I was a wreck, and it was the charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church in the mid-70s, and somebody invited me to a service where a priest, a Catholic priest, was coming, and he was going to, and they said, well, what he does is you kneel down, and he puts his hand on you, and then you fall backwards. And I thought, cool. Can I get stoned and go? So I went there, and I was sober. I got stoned later. I was sober, and I went there, and that's what they did. All the people, they'd get, and they'd take turns. And he'd just come, and he'd touch them, and they were kneeling down. They'd just kind of fall over. And I thought, whatever they are getting, I want some. And so I kneeled down. He touched my head. What used to happen to me as a kid, when the Holy Spirit would come visit me and I'd feel tremendous peace, that happened. And I thought, this might be better than getting stoned. A few weeks, Holy Spirit just kept working on me. Because you know what? Holy Spirit leads you to Jesus. Now, we hear in the church that you can't have the Holy Spirit till you're saved. But let me tell you what. Holy Spirit comes, and he draws you. He reveals Jesus. That's part of his job. And when you're praying for people to receive salvation, those hardcore, wounded, bitter people that need Jesus so bad, ask Holy Spirit to visit them. And he does. Because he did it to me. Weeks later, I was in a desperate state, and I ended up getting led to the Lord. A lady, Catholic lady, said, "What you need is Jesus." And I thought, I've tried everybody else or everything else, you know, why not? Okay. You know, she goes, "You want to pray?" Okay. So I prayed, and I knew something happened. But I couldn't shake the dope. I just really liked it a lot. It helped me out. And about 2 weeks later, I had another situation that was tough. And I was having a real struggle to be a Christian. I knew I prayed to be a Christian. I couldn't shake the dope, and my life wasn't changing. I go back to her. She says, "Do you want everything God has for you?" And she says, "You think about this. Don't answer me quick. Do you want everything God has for you?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." She says, "Okay. Ask Jesus for the baptism of the Holy Spirit." She says, "Let's pray right now." And I said, "Okay. What do I do?" She says, "Just lift your hands and say, 'Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Give me your power.'" And that's what I did. Let me tell you what. Holy Spirit came. It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever felt. The most amazing love and peace and acceptance and fullness that I've ever felt. And I went home and threw away my bong and all my roach clips and my good Colombian that I paid a lot of money for. That was 27 years ago. I traded in my dope for the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I've never been sorry, ever. Not once. Because he's been such a friend. Jesus said he's your counselor. He promised Holy Spirit would come. He was going to send. He had to go so he could send us counselor. Every day of my life, I talk to the counselor. Let's just pray. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. We ask you to fill this place with the glory of God, that you would reveal Jesus in his fullness and the fullness of the Father. We want everything that God has for us. If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just ask Jesus right now, "Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Because I need power," just like it says in Acts 1:8, "I need power to be your witness." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Holy Spirit will just hover. Just let Him minister to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now, right where you are, if you feel like the Lord has given you the baptism of the Holy Spirit, raise your hand. Okay, there's a couple. Come on up here, because I want to minister to you. Come on up. Doing it, go ahead and make syllables and words. Yeah, la 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 la. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Release her, Lord. Release her. From your innermost being come rivers of living water. Release her, Lord. Yeah. There you go.
We can do this, just so you know. What's happening now is she's just starting a new language. It says God's going to give us a new language. And you say, well, it just sounds like one or two syllables. But that's normal. That's not necessarily abnormal. When you start to learn a new language, what happens? You learn maybe a few phrases or something. And as you develop it, more language comes. So this isn't an abnormal thing. The Bible says that one of the activities that happens after you receive the Holy Spirit is that you have the option, you don't have to, but you have the option of speaking in a language that you don't know. It's called gift of tongues. And lots of times we found that people will start with just little phrases or little syllables or something like that, just like you would start if you were starting with a brand new language. This is a God thing that's going on. This may look different, but remember the thing about when we start with the beginning of the globe and go out to find how big God is? How big is your God? Sometimes this can be challenging to people, but I want to encourage you. Talk to her afterwards. She's encountering God. Jesus said you know it by the fruit, and she's encountering God right now. So it's okay. If you've got questions or you're really concerned, stick your hand up. I'll come and talk with you because we can talk you through this stuff.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Helen, I just feel that the Lord just wants to encourage you and say, Helen, in the deepest places that have been just shut away because of life's hurts and life's pains, I'm coming into those places very, very gently, very gently. With oil, with healing oil, to come in where there's been harshness. There's not harshness with Holy Spirit, says the Lord. I'm coming in gentleness and completeness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Helen, this is a season of cleansing for you. The Lord is bringing you into a place where He's going to cleanse and wash and renew. Thank you, Lord. And there's some relationships that are on the Lord's heart that are in your life. And the Lord says, Helen, I've heard your prayer. And even when you can't see, even when you don't understand, I'm working. And I'm working for you. I'm working on your behalf. So look to me and receive my peace, says the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
And Helen, I feel the Lord saying that you've been praying in your closet, saying, Lord, I need an answer. I need breakthrough. And I really feel the Lord saying that I'm opening the floodgates, and I have heard your prayer. I've heard all your cries. I have heard every one of them, and I've cried with you. And I'm here to answer every one of your questions, every one of your cries. I'm here. And I see the floodgates opening, and the Lord is just causing a breakthrough in your life. And I see the floodgates opening of His presence. The dam is open, and His love is just pouring out in you. And all He's saying is, open your hands out and receive. All of it is for you, all of it. It's not for someone else. It is for you to receive all my goodness.
And I'm just getting a sense from the Lord that He is giving you a new spiritual song in your heart. And it's going to be a new melody, that where there was once songs of sorrow, there's going to be such songs of sweetness and melody, and that it's going to give you power in your worship. So we just also getting a sense that He's also going to use you to usher in new seasons in the lives of other people as well, that He's giving you a new voice, and that this voice is going to rise up, and it's going to unlock things in other people's lives. You're going to be a breakthrough woman who's going to usher in new seasons in other people's lives. So we release that in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. And in Ephesians 5:19, it talks about singing spiritual songs to one another. And I'm just going to release a song over Helen right now. Thank you, Lord. Joy, joy, joy. Joy is your portion, Helen. Where there's been sorrow, I'm giving you joy. Laughter and joy. Laughter and joy. Where there's been a dark night, I'm bringing the morning. The sunrise is dawning for you, Helen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
What is your name?
Hi, Christina. Thank you, Lord, for Christina. Thank you, Father. Just pour yourself out on her, Lord. Give her more than she ever thought she could possibly handle. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes. Christina, the Lord says, you are my friend. And I have much, much more to share with you. And you're a woman that will keep my secrets. And the Lord says, I'm pouring out secrets from my heart in that place where you come to me. And you've poured out your heart, Christina. You've poured out your heart in prayer to me, but there's something new that's about to happen in your prayer life, and that is that I'm going to pour out my heart to you. Thank you, Lord.
And Christina, I felt the Lord saying that you are so precious in His sight. And around your neck, I feel that He's placed a string of pearls, and those pearls represent His inheritance. And I believe God is saying, you are my daughter, my inheritance, and this is my precious gift to you, because you are my precious daughter. Without flaw, I have made you perfectly in my image. Every piece of you, every part of your character, every part of who you are, I have made you in my image, because I have called you as my own, my precious daughter. And take this inheritance. It is yours.
And I'm just getting a sense of that He's really going to bless the faithfulness and the perseverance, that where you have sometimes really pulled the load, and He's really seen that character in you, but He's going to be releasing a season where it's not going to be so hard to see prayer answers, because you're going to be entering into a new level of intercession. That the things that you have pressed in and prayed into, He's really going to honor that, and you're going to see things released in the physical. So we just want to bless that.
Thank you, Father. So Lord, we thank you for Christina. Pour yourself out on her, Lord. Pour yourself out on her. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Now, is that fun? Are there more than maybe three or four people that are alive in here? Was that fun? Okay. Isn't it amazing that the Lord can come and tell somebody who doesn't even know you something that will confirm stuff in your heart and in your spiritual walk with Him? Isn't that awesome? What a God we serve. A God that's alive and intimately wanting to be involved in us. In everything we're involved in. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You guys are really something. What's your name?
June?
June? Okay. Tom. Okay. All right. Yeah. The Lord just wants to encourage you. Yeah. And you're looking awful nervous. But I just want to tell you that it's all good. Okay? It's all good. Yeah. 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 Jung, you're a man with a mission. You're a man with a mission. And the Lord says, for several years, I've been stirring in your heart. And stuff's been kind of coming up, like still water, and then the water kind of starts stirring, the stuff from the bottom starts coming up and starts kind of looking murky. And you thought, God, I liked it better when it was still. At least I could see to the bottom. But the Lord says, this stuff is good. It's good. And that it's churning and churning, and you're moving and you're moving, because you know what? If it wasn't churning, you wouldn't be moving. And the Lord says, I'm taking you and I'm lifting you out of your comfort zone, and I'm bringing you to a new place. I'm bringing you to a new place in me. Where you've been content to just stay same old, the Lord's saying, nuh-uh. Have no fear, because the dreams in your heart are from me. And it's not something that you're going to have to work out, so rest. Because the Lord says, I've got you. I've got you. I've got you in my hands. Yeah. I've got you surrounded, June. I've got you surrounded, and I've got your back, says the Lord. I've got your back. And he says, come on, let's go. Trust me, June. I know you don't know where you're going, but where I'm taking you, you are going to love it. You're gonna love it. It's good. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for June that the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ will be his portion. That where he has looked at weaknesses and even the enemy's plan has been to overwhelm him with discouragement, Lord, I pray that you would give him your perspective and that he would remember this moment and what Holy Spirit is doing right now, and that he would stand and he would say, I will go with my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, counselor and comforter, pour yourself out on Joe. Pour yourself out on him right now. Let him feel your power. Your power. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You're amazing. Do you write songs? Do you want to? Just a little? The word I got for you was Psalm 45, verse 1. And it says, my heart is stirring with a good theme. My heart is astir with a good theme. And my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. The Lord is imparting to you that gut level, deep spirit expression right now. It's all over you. You feel it, eh? Yeah. Yeah. It's all over you. Receive it. Receive it. And it's going to look like whatever it's going to look like. You don't need to worry about it. Okay? Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Give it to him, Lord. Give it to him. Give it to him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. Give it to him more. Yeah. Tom, you said a little bit. And the Lord says, Tom, I got more than a little bit for you, son. I have more than a little bit for you, because
you are worth more than a little bit. Let him have it, Lord. Let him have it. Yeah, breathe it in. Good. Just take it. Take it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah. 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 Tom, the Lord says, I'm teaching you about honor. And it's not that you don't know how to honor. You haven't been honored. And I'm teaching you about honor. Because I'm bringing you to a place. And this is a season that's upon you now. I'm bringing you to a place. You're going to receive honor. Yeah. Honor where it counts. And God says, I've heard the cry of your heart. And it's been a cry that you haven't even spoken forth because it's so deep. I've heard the cry of your heart. And I'm answering you. Give him more, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. More. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Favor. Favor, favor, favor. The favor of the Lord is on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. There it is. There it is. Yeah. Yeah. Get used to it, Tom. People are going to see you differently. Yeah. Cool, eh? Thank you, Lord. Okay. What's that face? That's the oh no face. What's your name?
David.
David. Okay. And you play the... Oh, I love bass players. Yeah. Okay. All right. Come, Lord. Come. Pour yourself out on him, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It'd be easy to get a word that'd be like David or musician. That'd be too easy. God says, I got something else for you. That's all good too, but I got something else I want to give to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. The Lord says, David, I'm giving you a revelation of what it means to really have a father. To have a father. Yeah. To have a father who thinks you are the bomb. A father thinks you're awesome. Pour it into him, Lord. Pour that revelation into him right now, Lord. The Father's love is upon you right now. And the Father says, David, I am so proud of you. You are my boy. Thank you, Lord. Deeper, Lord. Go deeper. completely revolutionize this man, Lord, in the area of Father. Completely revolutionize him from the depths of his being, the very core of who he is. Completely. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And David, this is going to work on you for several days. You're going to be under this. And I just see where the Holy Spirit is just going to be brooding over you like a mother hen broods over her eggs to keep them warm. This revelation has been breathed on you. Yeah. And it's going to be working while you're asleep and working while you're awake. And David, it's going to change how you carry yourself, how you walk, how you talk about yourself, and how you see yourself. Because you are loved deeply by the Father. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And David, the Lord wants you to know that you're not alone. And that he's walking with you. And he's walking with you in such a way that you're not going to miss it. You're not going to miss it. And so don't even entertain that. Don't even go there in your mind, because you're not going to miss it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And David, I get a sense that as his heart beats louder and louder in your heart, you're going to be being led in a new beat that maybe you've been walking in your own drum steps, but he's saying, son, I want you to come and come under my drum steps and follow me, because I'm safe and you can follow me, and I want you to follow me because I have the perfect beat. And my beat will take you where you need to go, so you don't need to go on your own beat. I want you to come under my covering and walk with my beat. And I just get a sense that in the days to come, you're really going to hear his heart beat. And it's going to be so loud, and you're going to know where you have to go. So thank you, Lord.
And I see in you a reckless abandonment coming forth. Just as King David came and he entered in, bringing in the Ark of the Covenant, and he danced before the people with unashamed, reckless abandonment. And I see that you're doing that same thing, just in the same way that your name is the same as King David. I feel that when you find and you know the security you have in God, that there's going to be such a freedom and reckless abandonment and being undignified for him. And there is going to be such an anointing, even in your worship and in your playing. And that it's going to be such a celebration out of the depth of gratitude in your heart, that the Lord is so pleased with that. And you are just going to be free in him. Free in him. Lord, we ask that you would bless that and cause him to be released in that area of worship, of reckless abandonment in you, Lord, being undignified for you, no matter what anyone else says or feels or thinks, because he is secure in you, and he would know that security and know that would, without a doubt, just your seal upon him. And I see as if he's put a tattoo on you, and it's like tattooed on the back of your neck. You can't see the tattoo, but it's his seal that he's placed upon you, and he's saying, you are mine. You cannot run from me. You can run, but you can't hide. And he's got you covered. So you are his.
Amen. Is God good or what? It's all over you, David. Keep on. Keep on receiving. I mean, it's okay. You're not disturbing me. Thank you, Lord. Isn't Holy Spirit awesome? And you know what I like about what he does too is the stuff that he ministers to other people. Some of that like touches you, like, oh, and you sense something. That's him, because he's over there where you are too, and he's doing things in you. It's not just for them; it's for you. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So even if someone else is getting a word, he's ministering to all of us here. Yeah. What's your name? Uh-huh, you in the white sweatshirt, sorry. No, in front of you, yeah. Come here. Come here, my cord doesn't reach back there. Now tell me again.
Jin Song.
I thought that's what you said. The Lord just wants to bless you. Is that okay? Okay, good. Good, I'm glad we can move on. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jin Song, I just see the compassion of the Lord that he has made you such a woman of mercy and compassion. And I just want to tell you, it's okay to cry, that whenever you've been told it's not okay to cry, that it's been kind of a mistake, because people who've told you that it's not okay to cry couldn't really see what the Father was doing in you, and that's okay. But the Lord wants to tell you, Jin Song, it's okay, because you're crying my tears for me. That expression of compassion that comes in tears is a form of prayer. And the Lord says, it's an offering that pleases my heart so much, even when you don't have the words, but the tears come, it's still prayer, Jin Song. It's still prayer. And it's good. Thank you, Lord.
Jin Song, I get a real feeling of that the Lord loves visiting you because you're such a wonderful hostess, and that you have built such a beautiful spiritual home. And he's saying, I search the earth, my eyes wander to and forth because my spirit longs to rest in a house where I feel comfortable. And you have made a place for him to come. And he's just really blessed with, he's just really, really proud of you for that. And yeah, so just really, just really sends God's pleasure.
And there's a drawing that people have, an attractiveness, and are drawn to you. There's just a, I sense a real sweetness to you, that you just have such a childlike, innocent, and sweet heart. And I really feel that people are drawn to that sweetness. And they're going to, you're going to use that as an opportunity to share with the love of Christ in you. They're going to say, what makes you so sweet? And that's the door that I really feel God's going to open for you to share, just out of your heart, no preaching, but just a sharing. And for some reason, I see children around you. I don't know if children are drawn to you or if you have a heart for children, but I really feel that there's a place that God is opening up in your heart for children to be drawn to you. And there's like a nurturing heart in you to draw yourself to others, to take care of them. And God's going to really bless you in that area, just as you open yourself up to pouring out the things that he pours within you. There's going to be an overflowing of that to others.
I want you to look at me, because the Lord wants to impart something to you that's very important. And he said, Jinsong needs this, and I want to give it to her. And it's this. There's been a difficulty and a struggle when you try and talk about things that are really important. And it's even been like a block that comes, and it's like the words just can't get, and what your heart wants to say doesn't come out. And the Lord says, today is the day, Jinsong, that I'm healing that in your life. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we loose this woman from that blocking spirit, and we loose her to articulate and speak forth what you have placed in her heart, Lord. What you have placed there. Because he has. Amen. Amen. Good. God bless you, sweetie. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. One more? We have time for one more? Okay. We could probably do this all night, but gee, probably people got to go to work. Okay. You in the green shirt and the hat. Yes! Yes. Yeah, you have to come up here. Sorry. What's your name?
Ken.
Hi, Ken. I love hats. I'm a real hat person. Cool.
It's good for bad hair days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even good hair days. Okay. Ken. Okay. All right. You love Jesus?
Yes. But I have not gone to church in a while.
Well, he's real glad you did. And you know what? You're going to be glad you did. Because he's got something really good for you. Okay? All right. So, Lord, I just ask you to come and minister to Ken. All your good stuff you have for him. All your good stuff. What the Lord wants to say to you, and this kind of fits. Now I kind of know. When you said that, now I get it. Okay? He said, Ken, you're a mighty man of valor. And where the enemy, Satan, let's just be clear and plain here, has tried to deceive you and kind of make you stuck. And the Lord wants you to know that you don't have to listen to that stuff, and that there's way more for you than what you've been walking in. Because you're a man who can see strategically. You're a man who can plan, and you're a man who can see the goal and figure out how to get there. And the Lord has placed all this in you as gifts. But the enemy has come and tried to fool you into thinking you're worthless and that you don't have a future and that nothing's ever going to happen for you. And the Lord, today's the day, the Lord wants you to know that's all a bunch of garbage and that He has so much more for you to walk in. And so today, it's turning all around. It's turning all around. And there's some desires that have been in your heart that have to do with the Lord. And it's, and maybe you haven't been to church, but you haven't been away from the Lord. Okay? You've still prayed, you've still tried to be a good Christian, and the Lord says, I'm honoring that, but I want to bring you forward in me. And I want to give you power to walk in the manner that your heart really desires. Okay? So give it to Him, Lord. Give it to Him. Just put your hands up like that and receive it. Yeah. Yep. Just like that. And what you're sensing, what you're feeling right now is the Holy Spirit. That's Holy Spirit. So just breathe in, take in more of the Holy Spirit, and receive right now. Jesus, baptize in the Holy Spirit. Give Him all the fullness of Christ that you have for Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Ken, the Lord wants you to know, He says, Ken, I've never left you. Even when you thought you were abandoned, I've never left you. And I'm coming more. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, nothing yet.
Oh.
And Ken, the Lord is saying, He has made you a man who is an overcomer. And He's saying, son, He wants you to rise up and stomp on all the stuff that has come. So, Lord, we just thank you, Father, that Ken is an overcomer and that you're going to overcome defeat, discouragement, all that stuff. He's saying you are going to walk in victory and you're going to walk in a new way. And He's saying, son, rise up and recognize the authority that I have given you. Use the authority that I have given you. I have given you all the weapons that you need to walk in victory. And He's saying, son, open your eyes and claim the authority that I have given you. And from today on, He's saying, take the authority to stomp on the plans of the enemy, because He has given you that authority. He wants you to take it in Jesus' name. So we bless that overcoming anointing in Jesus' name.
And you know what? The Lord says church is going to be different. I really feel that God's saying the church is going to be different for you. And I really sense that there's been a time that you've been away from the church because you said, if this is all there is, it's not exciting me. It's not captivating me. And I really feel God is saying, I'm going to stir up a real change, and you're going to do church differently. It's not going to be the same that you once experienced. And I feel that he's drawing you back for a purpose, that is sort of like that prodigal son pulling him back. He's all ready for you, and you think, oh, you came here because you just came here. But I really feel that the Lord is leading you back to a new place, to experience church in a new way. And it's not going to be in the same way that you've experienced before, because God is going to show himself to be alive and different and exciting, and you're going to be excited. You're going to be right there, not only serving but loving the Lord in a new and exciting way. Lord, we ask that you would bless that, that you would just cause him to a new revelation of you, Lord, that he would just see that banqueting table and see all the things that you have in store for him, and that he would just come with open hands and mouth to just feed on the things that you have in store for him. Lord, would you just bless him and use him and open that door, that church would be different. It would not be the same. Fill him with your spirit, Lord, even more. Yes, Lord.
You know what? You're different. And that's okay. And that's okay. Sometimes it hasn't felt very okay. But the Lord says, I made you just like that. Embrace it. You're creative, a little eccentric. That's all good. God made you that way. And it's awesome. And he says, I love you. Just the way you are. Amen. Bless him, Lord. Yeah. Amen. Okay.
Oh, we can clap. It's all right. Praise God. This is what we're going to do the rest of this evening, okay? They just flew in this morning, so they're a little tired, okay? But I'm sure they can continue on, but we're going to save them for the rest of these 2 weeks. But tonight, this is what it is. If you know that you know that you know that you're not going to be here any more nights or any other sessions, we're going to pray for you tonight. Now, this doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to come, I'm going to bail on every other day, right? Let the Lord deal with you. Okay? But if you know that you have to go on a business trip, you know, or you know that you have to go out somewhere and you want to come, but you know you just cannot make it. And that's totally cool. And we'll do this. And first of all, if you're a visitor, we're going to pray for you first, okay? Solomon's Porch people, we got them for 2 weeks, okay? And on Sunday, they're going to, you know, don't worry, we're going to work them. All right? So don't worry about that. Rob knows, okay? I mean, you know, when he used to come minister at our church, we'd end at like 4 in the morning, right? And this was not, you know, uncommon. And so when you're moving, I mean, God's stirring you. You got the energy anyway, but we're going to save them. And there are some people, though, I specifically asked Rob to pray for tonight. And so you know who you are, and I want you to come. I'm going to close the service right now. All right, we're going to pray. And if you know that you're going to be gone, right, I want you to just come forward. What I want you to do, we're just going to grab a tape. You know, and record, like you said, you keep it. For everyone that got prayed for today, it's all recorded, okay? So we'll get you a CD with a recording. And what we normally do is we actually just take it, listen to it, write it down. You know, keep a little journal. This may be just the beginning for you, you know, of receiving prophetic words. And this is what God is doing in your life, what God will continue to do. I have a notebook back at home of just words that I keep. And trust me, every time I get discouraged, you know, and I lose my vision, I go back to these words. And not because they're empty promises, but because it's confirming what I already have felt in my heart. Some of you guys know June, you know, and when I was praying for her, you're like, yeah. You know, how many of you guys were like, yeah, that boy needs encouragement, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's what the prophetic is for. It's confirming. You know, some of you guys, right, you know the verse, right? In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Have you ever thought what joy looks like? Right? Dave, why don't you stand up and show them real quick? Right? Yeah, go ahead, stand up, right? This is what joy looks like, right? A little bit. I'm sure there's more coming. But that's what it is, right? Sometimes we don't have the language to understand all that God is doing in our life. Do you know what I mean? And stuff. And, you know, I mean, it talks about joy. We don't, I mean, this is what it looks like, right? This is what it's all about, okay? So, I'm going to pray. Like I said, if you're not going to make it again, you know, I just want you to come forward. Let's open like these first two rows of seats, okay? And we have refreshments, okay? But sort of try to do a little quiet so we can minister. I know it's sort of hard to do that, you know, or just move to the back. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray for people. And if you're a visitor and you're probably not going to come back or whatnot, then we want to pray for you. We want to bless you, right? Porch people, you know, you'll get plenty this 2 weeks, so don't worry about that. Okay, does that sound okay? You know, and I know Mr. and Mrs. Shin, I specifically wanted Rob to pray for you, and Mr. and Mrs. Kim as well, okay? So you guys stick around, and if you, okay? Does everyone understand that? Are you translating this, someone? He's semi-translating it, so okay. Now, if I spoke in Korean right now, that would be a real miracle, but you know, I don't have enough faith yet for that. That's bad. Okay, let's pray. Let's just close our service. Father, we thank you, God, for... God, you... Lord, you love your children. God, that's really the bottom line. God, you love your children, God, and you see us as bruised. Lord, you see us as broken, God. But you see so much potential in us, God, and so many things you want to tap into our spirit, even though we don't believe it ourselves, God. But Lord, we thank you that you're able to do much more exceedingly abundantly than we can ever ask or imagine. And so we ask you to continue to watch over us, Lord, and continue to stir us, God, and continue to speak to us, Lord, and continue to awaken us, God. Father, we thank you for your ministers, God, and your servants. Bless them, Father, even more. And as they continue to minister tonight, God, just release anointing, and tonight give them supernatural rest. We thank you, God. We bless you so much. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're a Korean speaker, it's okay, because Annie, Jain, Sangwon, they're going to translate at the same time, okay? And stuff. So you guys are dismissed. Have some refreshments. If you are not going to be here, just come up to the first few rows. And the rest of you, God bless you guys. We'll see you this week. We're going to minister much longer other days, okay? But it's the first night. So God bless you guys.
chance, I will sing to be mad for my God. Love the Lord is hindering passion in my soul. I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Not the Lord is hindering the passion in my soul. And I'll lift up even more and dignified as some would say it's foolishness, but I'll become even more and dignified as leave my pride by the side and I'll become even more and dignified as. Or some would say it's foolishness, but I'll become even more dignified and I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering passion in my soul. I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul. And I'll become even more undignified and hey. Well, some would say it's foolishness, but I'll become even more undignified and leave my pride by the side and I'll become even more undignified and hey. Well, some would say it's foolishness, but I'll become even more undignified and thank you for the blood that you shed. Standing in its blessing, we sing these freedom songs. Thank you for the battle you won. Standing in your victory, we sing salvation songs. We sing salvation songs.